You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Good morning, happy Monday, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin today. When it comes to the people, the voters, the ones who go to work every day and earn the money, pay our bills, do the things we're supposed to do to be productive members of society, it's a given. We all believe that veterans should be taken care of. Unfortunately, our leaders in Madison don't seem to agree, as a program aimed at helping vets who are having a hard time in life is on the chopping block, and for me personally, and this is just my personal opinion, I think it's reprehensible, and I think you need to know about it because I want you to raise your voice to your local elected officials, your representatives, and tell them to fund this program. But I have Maggie Dawn speaking with Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner. He is from Green Bay, and he represents the 90th District, and they get into the details of what this program does and who, in fact, is holding it back.
Let's turn our sights to some of the, what I'm going to call, really negative impacts of the fact that Republicans in the state's biennial budget really were in the driver's seat. The governor proposes the budget, but you got to get it through. The Robin Voss, let's be clear, the Robin Voss-controlled assembly and the Republican-controlled Senate, they control the Joint Finance Committee. And the governor put in what is an incredibly small amount of funding, right? Yes. It is like less than a couple of million bucks for what is known as, and I want to get the exact name of this correct, the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program, which provides housing for veterans who are unhoused, amongst other services. He had the funding in there to continue that program. Republicans, again, the legislature controlled by Robin Voss and the GOP, pulled that funding out. Tell us where we stand and what has just occurred this past Friday in this critical program for veterans across the Fox River Valley.
And truly thankful for us being able to have this, you know, somewhat sad and tough conversation. To give some more context, people should know how the budget process works. As you know, and your audience probably is fully aware, the governor proposes the budget. Then there are a series of listening sessions that are held throughout the state. I went to the one in Northeast Wisconsin that was held a bit outside of Appleton. And we heard from veterans and so many other people about what they need. And housing was one of the major efforts. We were told by the veterans themselves that these amazing places in Bellevue, Chippewa Falls, and Union Grove, those are the three that we're talking about, that cost $1.9 million to keep going, that without any funding, these would close. There was no political poison pills. There wasn't any issues. This was $1.9 million, an incredibly small amount in the budget. And we heard this over and over again through these listening sessions. Unfortunately, we saw that then the next part of the budget process is the Joint Finance Committee, which is, despite the state legislature being closer to 50-50 than it's ever been, thanks to Reed John Maps, there's 12 members that are Republican, 12 members are Republican, and four that are Democrats, even though the state legislature is closer to 50-50. That body, by a majority vote, voted to eliminate nearly 600 programs. One of those programs was this effort. Then that budget, at the very last minute, literally days before the due date, was sent to the state legislature to pass. Many of these elements were missing, from school funding to other housing programs to this veterans program in particular that people in my district rely on. There were two attempts to actually reinsert this veterans funding in the Senate that had bipartisan support, and then in the assembly. They were both voted down by the majority party to do that. So the budget passed without my vote because it did not fund essential services, including our funding for veterans that are experiencing homelessness. And then they were slated to close. We then in our community had one of the members of Joint Finance, Senator Eric Weinberger, went to meet with the veterans in our community and asked, why did you vote against this? Mm-hmm. And he blamed the governor. said that the governor has a imaginary slush fund that he can just pull out and fund this service. And as we all know, you know, not everyone's
also not how budgets work.
And that's
like, it has to be appropriated and then expended. I mean, that's insane.
Right. And so the, you know, some regular people were a little confused. And so I was very frustrated because we had actually introduced a bill that had bipartisan support that would fund this program, of which Senator Eric Wimberger has refused to sign on to or support. He's doubled down on pointing fingers. And so this is what's so crazy. People expect their government to do a good job, particularly for the folks who fought under our flag. My family experienced homelessness, and I would never want anyone struggling with that to not get the supports they need, particularly when they've given their lives to serve our country. This is not even a partisan issue. People across the aisle agree, but our broken legislature is rather play politics than actually fund an easy bill. So to your point, what happened on Friday on September 11th, the shelter in preparation for closing, because we don't even have a hearing for this item, asked the last veteran to pack their bags and be placed somewhere else. And so they are slated to close without a floor session being called for either of these bills, for something that Republicans and Democrats actually agree on, because they were left behind by a problematic political process.
We should be clear that some Republicans in the legislature have stood behind the defunding of the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. And let's be clear about who defunded this program. It is Robin Voss and the vast majority of Republicans in our state legislature. Tomorrow, they could call a hearing.
Yes.
Fast track this and get the bill before the governor in no time flat if they wanted to solve this problem.
I'm going to play for you another selection from that interview with Maggie Dawn and Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner talking about the importance of keeping a veterans program intact and funded because our veterans more than deserve it. And you want to stick around for that because I'm also going to tell you how to get in touch with your representatives in case you don't know their information. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. I want you to come to rely upon me to do one thing on Monday, and maybe one thing only, but I'll do a bunch of things. But specifically this, I want you to expect great sports talk from me on Monday mornings. And the way we get that is by playing for you a conversation that Don Rosen had on his show on WRJN with our very own Mike Clemens. And he doesn't just give us the scores and the stats and all that stuff. He gives us locker room interviews and great stories from the road, talking to the people who make our teams run.
We actually have the Packers on tonight on WRJN. Did you know that?
No.
The Cudahy Packers take on Racine Lutheran.
Oh.
It's the only team in the universe, other than the Green Bay Packers, that's called the Packers. I didn't know that until about 20 minutes ago.
The name probably goes way, way back, right?
Yeah, well, the Cudahy Packers. So they said, with Packers are playing tonight. And I said, what? Okay. Speaking of about the Packers.
We were at practice. You know, they let us in at the start of practice, and we get to see them warm up, some drills. We sort of take attendance. They throw the ball around a little bit. And then they start doing 11-on-11. You know, they're now going to run some of the plays they're going to run in this game against the Browns on Sunday. And then they kick us out. Okay, go away now. And we'll let you know when practice is over, because this is all the top secret stuff. They put this big, huge black tarp around the practice field so you can't look over. Like, there's that new convention center. They don't want, like, some janitor, you know, working for the Browns or the Vikings or somebody. Tell them what's going on. I suppose if a kid going by with a toy drone, you know, he could take video of it. So then we get a little text, and then they say, okay, we're wrapping up. So we go and stand outside. They open the doors, and we go in the locker room. We talk to the players for an hour. And I was talking to Isaiah McDuffie, linebacker on the Packers defense, about this new kid that the Browns have, a tight end named Harold Fannin Jr. out of Bowling Green, who set an NFL record opening weekend. He caught more passes than any tight end ever did in their NFL debut from their quarterback, Joe Flacco. I said, this kid could be like a Tucker Kraft, right? The Packers tight end. And he didn't even blink. Yeah. And he told me all about this player. So then the locker room is closed. They kick us out. And then they send us an email with the injury report. And there's Tucker Kraft on the injury report. Like, you know, they had to haul him away in the middle of practice with a knee injury. Like, oh, my God, you know, because this is one of their best players right now. And later, the NFL Network reported, like, well, okay, they think it's just a tweak. You know, it's not season-ending. It's serious. And your next chance to find out what's going on is this morning. We'll be talking to Matt LaFleur about 11 a.m. before their final practice, is just how bad Tucker Kraft got hurt yesterday.
Now let's talk about the Brewers.
They won 5-2 at American Family Field to complete a three-game sweep of the Angels. Angels have now lost 7 in a row, and so then tonight, last night they got on a plane. They'll be in St. Louis tonight against the St. Louis Cardinals. Jacob Mizorowski, the Miz, will be on the mound against Sonny Gray for St. Louis. Brewers have now won, I think it's 94 games, so they're two away from tying the franchise record for most wins in the season. And their magic number is 4 to clinch the division. So, you know, if they can get all those things, if they can win their division, have the best record, you know, in the National League or in baseball, then that helps with you know, the schedule when it comes to the postseason. But they won an exciting game in extra innings, 9-8. And then after the game, Pat Murphy comes into the auditorium. But we had to wait for a while, because they had at least clinched a spot somewhere in the playoffs with that victory. So when he finally comes in, you know, about halfway through the press conference, somebody said, well, you know, you're all dry. I mean, you guys weren't, like, pouring champagne or anything. He said, no, we had a little tribute. He said, we shot video of it, right? In terms of PR, they go, yeah, we'll release that. Well, you know, everybody else was at home. I stay up, right, till 1 or 2 in the morning, and then this thing comes out, and they've dimmed the lights. It's a video. And Pat Murphy says, boys, you probably played this. Boys, I've got a little letter here from Bob Uecker. And it's like, well, what? What is this? And Mark Antanasio hands it to him, and he reads it, and it sounds just like Uecker. Hey, boys, howdy. This is Uke. I'm up in heaven on the baseball team here, and it's an absolute dream. You know, no day games after night games. They got this. They got that. He says, albeit I'm the third catcher, and everybody laughs. And then at one point, Murphy says a couple of things like, well, this couldn't be, because he's talking about their road wins and some of the records they set this year. So, but it looked like it was a letter from Uecker, maybe generic, you know, in case they go to the playoffs. Hey, have them read this. And then, you know, Pat Murphy just thrown in a couple of numbers there, ad-libbing it. And they identified it as that Pat Murphy read a letter from Bob Uecker to the team after the win. Like, oh, wow. Well, the thing got 1 million views. I mean, it went viral. They lost the next day. Nobody asked about this video. And then people start arguing on Twitter about, was this real or not, or how could it be? And then, you know, the one theory was, like, well, the owner's involved. He's handing the letter. Maybe Uecker wrote it to the owner to say, if these guys get to the playoffs, have Murph read this note, you know, to the guys to inspire them. Wish I could have been there. And finally, about 5 o'clock Monday, after 2 days, Murphy had to come out and clarify, okay, I wrote the letter. You know, it was just a little joke. You know, everybody knows, you know, that how much you would have loved to have been here. So
So I sent you a note that said Lettergate.
Lettergate. Well, it's just, you know, it's like they've been so solemn about the passing of Uecker. They had a two-hour tribute. You know, and they brought in Bob Costas and all these other dignitaries, and it seemed like a weird time to write a prank letter.
Yeah, it just went a little south on him.
I don't know if all the players knew it was a joke at the time, the way he was reading it.
Again, you can always stop by the show here in the morning on Mondays to listen to the great conversations between Don Rosen and Mike Clemens. We appreciate both of them so very much. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take all your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach. I'm back. I played new music for you, and this is what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. He's not just the political editor of Civic Media. He's not just the founder of the Recombobulation Area. He's not just my coworker, but he's also my friend. He's Dan Schaefer. And he stopped by to talk about something that's going to be taking place very, very soon that will affect you if you live in Milwaukee, drive in Milwaukee. Man, if you can spell Milwaukee, this is going to affect you for the next few years. And I bet you can guess what it already is. All right, Dan, you're here today, and that means you're bringing me something uniquely southeastern Wisconsin. What do you have for the folks?
Well, you know what? We have certain seasons here in Wisconsin, don't we?
Yes.
We have winter, and we have construction.
Oh, construction. It's really the season for giving.
It really is. That's what people call it, the season for giving. No, but there's been a whole lot of construction on the highways and roads in and around southeastern Wisconsin for much of the spring and summer months here. And there's a little bit more coming now in the fall as well. And that actually connects to one of the biggest projects that is slated to happen on the highways in southeastern Wisconsin over the next few years, which is the I-94 East-West Freeway Project.
We've talked about infrastructure before, on and off the air, and I feel like this was all done at one point, and now 94 is being worked on again, or are these separate projects outside of the major highway expansion work they did a few years ago?
So this is basically expanding the highway, adding a lane in each direction, and reconfiguring the stadium interchange. So this is between the Zoo interchange and the Marquette interchange. And so this is really from about 16th Street in Milwaukee through 70th. And including one of the biggest pieces of the reconstruction here is the stadium interchange where Highway 175 meets I-94 right at the at American Family Field.
I can tell you right now, the Zoo interchange isn't bad. It's actually, after the rebuild, it's pretty straight ahead. The Ballpark interchange is confusing, as is, I feel like, so is the Marquette interchange. You have three right after another when as you get closer to Milwaukee between the lakefront, Marquette, and the baseball stadium.
It's a lot. It's a lot of highways. It's a lot of overpasses. It's a lot of on-ramps. It's a lot of stuff going on there.
It's a lot of, oh no, we should have went that way.
And so we are at an interesting point here for the East-West project. So this is a project that has been bandied about in various forms for quite some time now. It initially came up under Scott Walker's leadership when he was governor. They were even talking about building a double-decker freeway or something like that. Those projects eventually did not happen. Tony Evers, however, reignited this in 2020, saying that they were going to seek to expand the highway, widen the highway, add a lane in each direction here as well. But that got kind of pushed to the side as far as like the actual shovels in the dirt part of the project when they needed to do an updated environmental impact statement in 2021, essentially. And now, if you look at the East-West website on the Wisconsin Department of Transportation's breakdown here, they have three pieces of this project. They have environmental and alternative analysis, they have design, and they have utility and roadway construction. So the environmental and alternative analysis has been going on for much of the past few years now when Evers kind of brought back this project. Design began in 2022, and we are now at a space where if you look at that site, all three are included into kind of like the "we are here" spot in the graphic here. So utility and roadway construction is essentially starting now. Construction for this project is slated to begin in late 2025. It is supposed to last into 2032. So this is going to be a road project that we are going to be seeing in southeastern Wisconsin for quite some time.
I won't lie, you kind of lost me at 2032.
And I saw your mind go blank there when I said the year that extends into the 2030s now, yes.
Look, I'm all for infrastructure. I'm all for repair. I'm all for modernization, especially if that means we're going to make the ways of getting to and from Milwaukee easier. But that is just, I mean, if it starts this year, which according to the website, I may start, may not start. If it starts in 2026, that means we're looking at 6, maybe 7 years of construction on just that spot alone. And that's not a huge area. That means a lot of inconvenience. It means a lot of congestion. And it means that people are going to really have to rework the ways they come to and from work or to and from home.
Yes. And there will be some mitigation, what they call mitigation projects that are connected to this as well. And that is what has actually started to be under construction as of this summer. So part of the larger I-94 East-West project is the National Avenue Mitigation Project. And what this is basically getting National Avenue prepared to handle larger volumes of traffic of people who are not going to be on the highway. So National Avenue, one of the main east-west connecting streets, State Highway 59 that goes through the city of Milwaukee, just south of the interstate. And, fans of the Milwaukee Brewers will be well aware of this part of the kind of highway system here where you're getting on and off the highway at that stadium interchange. The main east-west thoroughfare there is National Avenue, and construction began in July on this National Avenue mitigation project that is kind of setting up the larger construction that is set to begin in earnest before the end of the year.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I don't like it either, but it's what we must go through to live in a civilized society. Thank you to Dan Schaefer for being here, always bringing us the update for southeastern Wisconsin. I'm certainly waiting for the day he says there's free ice cream throughout the community, but, you know, I can be patient. And I want you to be patient, too, because there's actually a part two to that conversation as far as what the city and state will do during these projects to help those who are driving on those roads every single day. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take all your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Earlier, I played for you a selection from the interview that Maggie Dawn did with Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner, who represents the 90th District in Green Bay, and they were discussing a program aimed at veterans who need help and how it's going to be closed down and ended because of the standstill and the inability for our leaders in Madison to make a decision. And I'm going to play for you another selection from that conversation, and I want you to stick around because afterwards I'll be back with some information on how you can make your voice heard.
They refuse to even schedule the bill that has been proposed by my guest and co-sponsored by at least one Republican Ben Franklin. They refuse to even schedule a hearing to help out our unhoused veterans in the Fox Valley area. I don't know how any person who says that they support our military, who is proud of being an American, who believes, I think rightly so, that we live in the land of greatest opportunity, how anyone who calls themselves a patriot could ever look themselves in the face and refuse to have this bill called for a hearing in committee, refuse to support it, when you now have veterans that are unhoused or potentially going to be unhoused that weren't before. That is a big fat lie. You may say that that's your value, but unless your actions match that value, that is a lie. I cannot think of anything that should be more anathema to every single Wisconsinite, whatever letter we happen to put behind our names. I'm shocked by this. It is $2 million.
Right.
What, like, pray tell, do you have any insight into what the objection from Robin Voss and the MAGA regime in our state government's legislature has to providing this essential service for our veterans? What is their objection?
So, you know, this doesn't resonate with me, but this is what I've heard through the grapevine. We've asked this question over and over again. There are some people who believe that these types of services should not be funded by our government. And while I may not agree with that, I'd rather them come out and be more public. If they believe that the government should not be funding our veterans that are experiencing homelessness, and these programs actually do more than just give people access to stabilized homes. If people are experiencing issues with addiction, if they need mental health services, they do wraparound care for the folks who have served our country. And so if someone believes, which I don't, that the government shouldn't be in the business of funding veterans to get on their feet and be protected, I think they should be more honest about that. That is what we've heard, that this is their consternation, is that some people just deeply don't believe that the government should be funding this.
So I want to be really explicit about this because, Ahmad, if I can call you by your first name, because yes, we're friends now.
Yeah.
Here is what, that is the reality. There is no purpose for government in the eyes of the MAGA movement, vast swaths of it. They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end? Is it going to make people's lives better? That should be the goal of government, whatever its size, right? Like, that is the thing that we're all supposed to be centered around. And if you are so anti-government that you cannot find your way to understanding that the government owes at minimum housing and wraparound social services, addiction treatment, and psychological support to the men and women who have served this country in the military, what are you doing as an elected official? You have no business in an elected office. To put some context on this, let's be clear here. The Trump expansion of tax cuts for 100 millionaires and billionaires, okay? I'm just talking about the added tax cuts, not the tax cuts they already got from his tax giveaway for billionaires and the oligarchs in 2017. I'm talking about the big, brutal bill, new additional tax cuts. That is netting the ultra, ultra wealthy. And I'm not talking about you folks that might have a few million in the bank for retirement. You're helping, you're trying to help your kids buy a house or pay for, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people that put their names on buildings, okay? $114 billion a year in just tax cuts. That's the added tax cut in the big, beautiful, $114 billion a year. Now, we could compare that to anything else in the world, but the estimates from the VA on how much it would cost to house all veterans or to fully fund the Housing First program is nowhere near $114 billion.
Mm-hmm.
It's less than $10 billion a year to make sure that every single veteran in our country has the wraparound services that Representative Rivera Wagner has described and to have stable housing. Tell me, people, what is more important to you for your government to do? To give 114 more billion in tax cuts to folks that don't need it and who won't even notice it? It's a rounding error. Or to house veterans? What is our priority? The billionaire class or veterans? Because that's what these choices amount to, folks. Budgets are expressions of our values. We're going to continue to talk about those values and how they are expressed or undermined by our elected officials.
As a personal thank you, I want to send gratitude to Maggie Don and Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner for talking about this issue. Our elected officials' inability to find $1.9 million to take care of our veterans is reprehensible and a problem that seems easy to solve. If you want to contact your representative, go to myvote.wi.gov, put your information into the website, and it will show you everyone who represents you from the President of the United States down to the dog catcher if you still vote for them. You can call, you can write a letter, you can email them, but let them know about this topic and how you feel and how we should be funding programs for our vets. They gave all, and programs like this are something they deserve. Again, myvote.wi.gov. Go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for the Maggie Don Show, and download this episode directly to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Stick around, because after Pat is Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air and me, Greg Bach. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. For WAUK and Civic Media, have a fantastic Monday. I'll talk to you tomorrow. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.